Because I like anything that reminds me it's never God that's holding out on me. God is not keeping me from peace. And that's what she's speaking as God there. I'll give you peace. I'll give you peace. Take it. But then what are you going to do with it once I give it to you? What are you going to do with your peace? Once I give it, and it's I don't know, probably cause some chaos. Why do you ask? I'm going to put it in a back drawer, hidden behind stuff I don't want. You know, I'll put it in the basement, the attic. Because I'll get to that one day. But thank you, it's very nice. It's like getting a beautiful piece of silver or china. I think you never use it. I can't tell this because he might be watching. My mother never used her good ashtrays. We were smokers. There's always a plastic one inside the good crystal ashtrays because she didn't want to get the good ones dirty. There's no peace in that. The peace is the joy of grinding out a cigarette in a beautiful, clean, crystal ashtray. it's wonderful to drink out of a good glass. Now, I got rid of all our china. Gave it all away last year. Because I don't want anything that can't go in the dishwasher anymore. Mm-hmm. I have beautiful dishes still. But they can go in a dishwasher. Thank you, Home Goods. We had David's grandmother's 100-year-old china. I gave it to our cleaning person because nobody on eBay wants it. I didn't have any friends. Nobody's children I know wants it. No, it's old. So finally I said to she was at our house, I said, would you like to have all these? And it was a lot. She said, oh, I'd love that. They're beautiful. Let's put them in your car now. And I've never missed them. It's been almost 2 years. I've not yet missed them. Peace. I'll give you peace. Peace. I'll give you peace. I have a question for everybody in the room. So I hope you're paying attention. I hope you're paying attention. What is your favorite space in your home?
My bedroom.
Okay. How about you?
My couch.
How about you?
Bedroom. My game room.
Ah. Suzanne?
City.
Steve?
Basement.
My bedroom.
Kitchen.
Bedroom. Studio. Bedroom. Chair by the fireplace.
Like, I didn't know he was coming to me. Yes.
Our upstairs, what do you call it? Like a record.
The family room?
Family, yeah.
We'll call it that.
Yeah.
The theater upstairs. Yes. Yeah.
TV and stereo room. Mm.
Good. Now, I learned this from somebody else, what my response here to you all is going to be. Nobody said the hallway. Any of the hallways. And the hallways are the most vital space in your home. Because they're the space that gets you from here to here. And we take the hallways for granted. We take the hallways in life for granted. And we need to pay more attention to our hallways and be more grateful for them. Imagine at every hallway, every entryway, and all those things. That's where you only love lives in here. Because that way you're walking through love to get to where you're going in your home. That's what's important. Oh, that's my home. Whether I like it or not, it's my home. It's probably the safest space you have, even if you don't feel terribly safe in it. You need to create a way. I remember when I got my first apartment in New York, and I had lived in New York for a while, but when I had my first one with my name on the lease, it's in 1992. I was 12 years old at the time. The first thing I did was I ran out and bought some paint because I was ending a relationship and I'm going to be on my own. as it were, you know, my confused mind. And I thought, dude, so I cried. But I went and bought some coral / orange paint. I'm not sure if it was more coral or more orange. Knowing me, it was probably more orange. And, but all I did was open up the can and I just put a slash of it on the wall and I was home. I created that home. I didn't have a hallway in that apartment. I had an entryway that maybe could have been considered, but it was as painted as much as any other room in the house. And I had a little entryway into the bedroom. For by New York standards, I had a mansion. Because I had an eating kitchen and two closets in a bedroom. Not expansive closets, but two closets nevertheless. And the whole thing was still about 400 square feet.
Cross ventilation.
Oh, I did. I had a window facing two different streets. Or two windows, one facing each other. But nevertheless, the hallways, the part you walk through to get to the next part, it's likely where you're going to find your peace. Or maybe your absence of it. But to pay attention as you are. Remember what they say, it's hell in the hallway. So get going. But it doesn't have to be hell in the hallway of your home. It can be thrilling in the hallway or the entryway or the cross through of your home. It can be really, really thrilling. It goes, oh, look at this. Perhaps I should do something nice for this hallway. Years ago, we painted the hallway out there. I hear you're going to paint it again. I don't blame you. There's been floods out there. There's been lots of stuff that happened over the years, lots of hands. And nevertheless, we loved that hallway. We loved the stairway. We loved the passage to get into our sanctuary. That's what we did. And so to pay attention to that, and so it always felt so good to walk through there, even once the baseboards got ruined by a flood and things, it still felt good to walk through there. It didn't feel like an abandoned space to get to where I'm going. I've never felt like, I had to run to get into the office or here. No, we created sanctuary from the time you walk in the door downstairs. At least we've always tried. And so to look at that, this quote in your bulletin today, it's an Oprah Winfrey quote, and I like it. It says, I trust in the ebb and flow of the universe. I trust that life's bigger than what I can see. Excuse me, my breakfast is ready. I trust that there a bell just went off in the kitchen. Those of you on video. I trust that there is a divine order beyond my control. And I trust that no matter what happens, I will be all right. What I know is so far, I have survived everything that's come up so far. I haven't liked everything while it was happening. Where I've gotten to is I'm not hating so much of what happened. I used to hate a lot of what happened. It was very popular to complain about your childhood and your parents. So you went into recovery and we'd get together, lots of us, we'd compete. And finally I realized one day, I don't want to have the worst family. You win. I don't want to have to have had the worst childhood. You win. You get to have the worst one. I don't want to have had the worst one. I want to have the one that made me who I am today, if I like who I am today. If I'm fighting who I am today, if I'm wishing I weren't me, it's tough. It's tough that maybe you do have the worst childhood. But if you can find a way into peace about who and what you are today, then your childhood is fine. Start to give thanks for it. I remember when I went into 12-step recovery and I would hear people affirm, I am a grateful recovering alcoholic. And I thought, grateful? What are you, a wet brain? How could you be grateful for being an alcoholic? Because I didn't understand. And I understood later on. But let me be very clear here. I didn't understand, but I was open to understanding. I thought, Okay, either they're just insane or they're actually grateful. So I listened. I listened, just like when I went to church, I started listening. And what I came to see was, if they hadn't been an alcoholic, they might have had no life at all. They wouldn't have these years of sobriety underneath as their foundation to live now. And now is the only present we have. Now. You know, because if I'm still living in then and regretting then, well, then I have no present. I just wanted to jump up and down when I came to Unity and I heard God is presence itself. I thought, God is presence itself. God is intelligence itself. God is peace itself. God is love itself. God is I am. I began hearing these things and they all rang true to me. They were as on the money as anything I had ever heard. I grew up in a world of lies around people's misery. And I knew they were lies. They were just based on the only way people were willing to look at things. And I didn't want to look at things the way they did. Why? Because they weren't happy. They weren't laughing. And then I started hanging out with a bunch of sober alcoholics and they were laughing. And they were having fun. And there were jokes that didn't hurt anybody. And I didn't hear prejudices. And I didn't hear racism. And I didn't hear... Now, they may have been, but they weren't sharing that kind of stuff. And so these people, they were just one day at a time looking for hope. Not only that, they were finding it. I remember a guy one night shared, he was beside himself. He was probably 40, and he had just gotten the first TV he'd ever had in his life. He had been homeless not that long before. And at this point, he had an apartment, and he got a TV, and he was so happy. There was no lack in his life. He just kept seeing, if I keep going down this healing path, my life just gets bigger. I don't know what's next. And I'm not worried about what's next. I'm not living in lack now. You know, and we do that one, don't we? We get the TV and then, well, I need a table for the TV. Oh, well, I need this. I need a trip somewhere. I need this and I need this. How many people have ever gotten a car? A car of your dreams. Well, now I need maths. Now I need to park it at the end of the parking lot so nobody will hit me. And now I, you know, we create lack out of our abundance. And so we look at stuff and we think, peace, joy, hope. And the stories I've heard over the years from people, and they were grateful in a place I didn't understand, but I was willing to. I know where I forgot to get to, our 12 powers. The power we're on this week. Remember, we started with faith. Faith is my yes. Will is my what I'm willing to carry out the yes power, positive or negative. I'm willing to carry it out. Understanding knows how to. We get up, imagination begins to picture it and everything, and zeal back in that gets me excited about it all. And then the power, I speak it, I call it forth. Last week was love and wisdom, heart, love and the heart, wisdom here in the solar plexus, love and wisdom working together that I could discern the difference between what is the best for me and all beings. And then this week, right behind the navel here is order, the power of order. It's the ninth power, order. And there is an order to everything which has everything to do with what we've been talking about today. There is an order between my thought, my word, and my action that leads to my demonstration. And so when I'm talking about these people who, you know, when I heard them, I thought, I don't understand, but I'm willing to. I'm willing to get it. I'm willing to keep listening until I can hear that. Because is it my when I went to my bottom, I still had an apartment. I still had a job. I didn't have a lot of money, but I didn't have a lot of money when I was active. But I my rent was paid on time every month. I was never late for my rent or my phone bill because that was my security. And so to look at it, okay, they're grateful for something that I don't get. But I stuck around and I became grateful because they told me, those people who had were living in gratitude, my gratitude would heal me of all maladies. My gratitude. So see, there's an order of getting to gratitude. And then when I began to look at it, because I wanted to like me, I wanted to be okay with where I was. And I remember I was probably 2 years sober, and I was sitting in a meeting, maybe three years, doesn't matter. And I sat there and I thought, if it never gets better, if it never gets better than this, I had the same apartment as I had 2 years before. I had the same job, the same income. And I thought, if it never gets better than this, is that okay? And I was so relieved when the answer was yes. It was okay. My life wasn't awful. And I thought, what's different? The outsides don't seem to be different. The stuff, the world, the worldly stuff. And I thought, I'm different. I see life differently than I did before. And I have peace in places where I used to be crackers. I mean, where I couldn't cope. I had peace in a lot of those places. I'm not saying I was fully baked, but it was so different than it had been. And I knew that no matter what happened that day, I would be all right. Now, in all the years, I have continued to heal and recover and acquire a lot of stuff in life. I've gone in and out with that, of being all right, or of knowing I would be all right. You know, I added elements into my life that I needed to in order to find out how to live life within this. Well, I got a relationship. I was 9 years sober when I got a relationship. And I couldn't have handled it 1 second before, and I could barely handle it once I got it. I didn't know what to do with it. Thank goodness he was patient enough to let me go through my process. He'll tell you himself about his own process. That's not my business to share that. I had to learn how to be in relationship. And in 21 years, I've almost learned. I'm still learning. And it's rarely do I call things bad anymore. I was promised peace. And there were elements that were so important to me. These 12 powers became very important to me. I started studying them in 1997, and I still study them. The Advent stuff, I don't study the Advent stuff, but I do study the Christ. And I seek, how can I practice that and implement it into my conscious mind on a daily basis? Because the Christ awakened in me does not make me more religious. Makes me more confident. Gives me hope. Christ in me. Then it doesn't matter if I'm doing a Buddhist meditation. It doesn't matter to me what elements I incorporate into my life. I have a clue, if not how to do it all, how to sit still through it. How to sit and be still, even when things are extremely upsetting. As you, many of you know, I've recently gone through some upsetting stuff. But I'm going through my process. And you know, for the first 2 weeks, I was so angry at how some things played out. And people are people, and they're going to act out their stuff too. But after the 2 weeks, I realized, oh my, because I really thought, the way it was presented to me, you guys didn't like me. That you guys really had, everybody here had a huge problem with me. And I don't know how much was told to me and how much I understood that as. And after 2 weeks, I realized, wait a minute, 19 years. 19 years, good heavens, no, people don't hate me here. No, a couple of people got mad at me and they acted out. I've affected everyone very positively overall. Even the people who've had some problems with me, I know their lives are better for us having been together on Sunday mornings and in conversations and dinners and lunches and retreats. My life is better for us having been together. David's life is better for us having been together all this time. You become families, and families don't always like each other every single day. And we forget. We forget ourselves, and we forget each other. And I still have to get up here and minister, and I still have to get up here, not just preach this stuff. I have to practice it if I'm going to preach it and believe it. Otherwise, I'm just going to be a liar up here, and I don't want to be a liar in the pulpit. I don't want to do that. Again, I'm not fully baked. I don't think I'm half-baked. But I'm not fully baked. And I'm always in process, just as everybody else is. So when I hear this promise of this song, and it's I'll Give You Peace, and Ken is about to sing another song about the Christ being born. And the lyric of that is more traditional lyric. And it's referencing Jesus Christ. Well, in unity, I heard that Jesus Christ awakened in me. Or Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And metaphysically, what that means is that Jesus, the man, is always going to be Jesus, the man, whether he's in his body or not, just as I'm always going to be Sean the man, whether I'm in my body or not. But then there was Jesus Christ, which is the awakened man, and that's what that represents metaphysically, the awakened man. And so to realize that is going to be the same yesterday, today, and forever, that awakened part of us that knows without a doubt. And that's what we need to always get in touch with. Because that's the easy part to forget. We get in the world and somebody cuts us off in traffic. We get out into that sidewalk and it rains, it does whatever. We walk down the stairs. I wish those stairs were not the pathway to forgetfulness. They really, somehow, going up them, they're the path to remembering, and going down, they're the path to forgetting. And we need to change that. Give you peace. Divine order. There is an order between what I think, what I say, and what I do that leads to all of my demonstrations. So I invite you to look and see what you're currently demonstrating, what you're currently manifesting. Are you pleased with it? And if you're not, start the process of order over again. Go back in. We're spiritual scientists. So this traditional song that Kenneth is going to sing with a very untraditional arrangement, and it's one of my favorites that he does. Consider it. Consider the, would you be willing that the Christ be born in you today? Let the lyric not be of the earth, but be of your consciousness. Thank you.